This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Monday, August 26, 2013. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that the BLM's draft resource management plan for its Grand Junction regional office has drawn 24,000 public comments, most of them written to oppose oil drilling in the Whitewater area bordering Grand Mesa National Forest. According to the Daily Sentinel, the agency is currently sorting through those comments on an oil development proposal from Fram Operating LLC, with most of the comments stemming from form letters distributed by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Fram is hoping to develop as many as 108 wells above the Gunnison River, upstream from where the Gunnison meets the Colorado River. The opposition campaign from the Natural Resources Defense Council asks the BLM to reject that proposal. Mining authorities in Colorado are asking the federal government to help resolve what has been described as one of the most serious cases of pollution stemming from illegal gold milling in the state. According to the Denver Post, the state of Colorado took emergency actions this past June to shut down the Red Arrow Mine south of Mancos, which had been operating without the knowledge of mining regulators and using mercury to remove gold. Now, the state's Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety is asking the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to determine how badly that use of mercury might have contaminated the area. The EPA would also decide whether to designate the mill as a Superfund cleanup site. Since discovering the unlicensed mill in June, state mining authorities have fenced off and locked the site. The Post reports an initial investigation found mercury contamination throughout the mill, with some mercury found in buckets of sludge and in an overturned washtub that was serving as a vent hood. Tony Waldron with the Colorado Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety said the discovery was, quote, "one of the most serious cases we've come across of illegal mining," end quote. The highest concentrations of mercury discovered at the site were measured at 32,000 parts per million, well above the industrial safety standard of 43 parts per million. The mill's president, Craig Liuco, previously said he didn't believe the mill needed state approval because it was a, quote, pilot project. The Post also reports that state auditors are taking a closer look at whether medicinal marijuana doctors are recommending too many marijuana plants for patients. According to the Post, doctors recommending high numbers of plants, known as counts in the industry, is a common practice. But some doctors and law enforcement officials say the practice can lead to abuse. State health officials are now beginning to track data on high count recommendations from doctors. One Colorado Medical Board investigation focused on Dr. Michael Camarada, who, according to reports, regularly recommended 72 plants per patient. One doctor from Aspen who works in the industry claimed the only reason for recommending so many plants is to sell them on the black market or out of the state. The state board's investigation into Camarada ultimately resulted in restrictions on his license. The Post reports a state audit released last month cited extremely high plant counts from some doctors, with one doctor recommending 501 plants for a single patient. That audit also questioned the practice of clinics charging more for patients' exams that result in higher plant counts being recommended. The state's health department is currently compiling data to track the practice of high count recommendations, and will also be asking doctors to explain their higher recommendations. A new poll shows mediocre approval ratings for Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper as he begins his bid for re-election. Benta Berkland has details from the state capitol.
According to Quinnipiac University, 45% of Coloradans don't want Governor Hickenlooper re-elected next year. Hickenlooper ran as a pro-business Democrat, but has signed some controversial bills of late. For instance, he signed a ban on high-capacity magazines and a requirement for universal background checks for gum purchases. He also granted an indefinite execution delay for Chuck E. Cheese killer Nathan Dunlap. The poll was conducted in mid-August, and while it calls his support lackluster, he still edges out several possible Republican challengers, including former Congressman Tom Tancredo. Most voters in the poll also said Hickenlooper has a strong leadership style and is honest and trustworthy. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
An organizational assessment of the Delta Montrose Electric Association has been completed after being conducted by a division of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. According to the Delta County Independent, the assessment was a much-debated issue before DMEA's annual meeting in June. Candidates for DMEA's open board seats either dismissed the assessment as a money waster or defended the board's decision to have it administered. The Independent reports the assessment analyzed DMEA salaries and wages, comparing them to other co-ops of the same size, and found employees were not being paid amounts out of the norm. The assessment's summary did, however, say the organization could use some, quote, tweaking, mainly with regard to its structure. The summary suggested DMEA could improve the accountability and focus of its employees and recommended it eliminate the assistant general manager position and transition to the chief engineering and technology manager. According to the Independent, the DMEA recently scored an 89 in a satisfaction survey as measured by the American Consumer Satisfaction Index. That score is a good one compared with national electric co-ops, but employees are reportedly still not satisfied. Consultants administering the co-op's assessment said they found trust issues between DMEA's board, management, and employees that are hurting the organization. Among other recommendations, the assessment said the organization should improve the relationship between employees and the board, and also suggested that its two operation centers in Delta and Montrose be consolidated into one for greater efficiency. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Colorado Mesa University and Western Colorado Community College will soon operate a composting facility using food waste, horse manure, and leaves from the schools. The construction on the facility began last week and is expected to produce a finished pile of compost once every 3 weeks. According to the Daily Sentinel, the compost will be used for crop beds next to the site, which will provide vegetables and herbs for Western Colorado Community College's culinary classes. The compost will also be used for grounds work on the Colorado Mesa University campus. In addition to compost itself, CMU's Sustainability Council President Ryan McConnell said the project would provide 4 work-study jobs as well as many study opportunities for biology and culinary students. McConnell originally came up with the idea for the project 2 years ago as a student at CMU. And finally, this morning, the USA Pro Challenge finished up in Denver on Sunday. After a week crossing Colorado, competitors in the international bike race made several laps in the heart of Denver. In the end, though, it was a far different finish than a year ago. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher was there and filed this report.
It was a moment 3 years in the making. After 2 near misses, pro cyclist TJ Van Garderen finally clinched the yellow winner's jersey.
You gotta feel the love in Colorado. Yeah, let me feel that love one more time.
Van Garderen, who recently moved to Aspen, said it felt good to win. After his first-place finish, Van Garderen and other top riders made their way to a nearby press conference. Some had beers in hand as they answered questions. It was a far more relaxed and playful scene than the end of the race last August. Van Garderen had just barely lost to veteran Christian Vandeveld. Now, Vandeveld is retiring, and he talked about how different cycling is now compared to when he started.
The way leaving my sport right now in 2013, I'm very proud of, and I think that leaving these guys at TJ, I'll never have to look into things that I had to look into, and I came to the sport in 98.
a thinly veiled reference to doping and how many say the sport is now cleaner. Vandeveld recently served a six-month suspension for doping in the past. He was once a teammate of Lance Armstrong and was part of the investigation into whether Armstrong doped. This is the first year a European cracked the top three for overall winner. Tour de France champion Chris Froome, on the other hand, quit the race before it finished Sunday. He reportedly had problems breathing. While there are two other major cycling races in the U.S., Colorado is known for enthusiastic crowds. Riders were asked on Sunday what it's like to be surrounded by spectators, some wearing outrageous costumes. Third place winner Tom Danielson spoke up.
I don't know if you guys saw my Twitter recently, but I got my first Twitter flash ever, right?
That was at the Vail time trial, where a woman was captured on video fully exposing her chest as he rode by. It was a big hit on Twitter.
But no, we don't see it. We don't see the capes. We don't see the flashing. We don't see, but we really appreciate it, and then it makes for great Twitter afterwards.
Spectators often end up getting a lot of attention. It's a barometer of sorts for how popular the event is. Crowds at the finish on Sunday didn't look as big as in years past, although there was enough activity to nearly disable cell coverage in certain areas. CEO Sean Hunter said TV ratings also point to lots of people paying attention to the race. Early numbers show ratings are up 30% over last year. It's hard to gauge the financial boost from people gathering and cheering on cyclists. In Aspen and Snowmass Village, officials will be gathering public comments this week to better assess the economic impact of the USA Pro Challenge.
That was Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. And this concludes this morning's newscast. Thanks for tuning in. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.